Jeremiah 29. There's not anybody here who hasn't heard a sermon on Jeremiah 29. Everybody talks about the preciousness of it. And I know, of course, the original understanding is for Israel. But in a secondary way, it is absolutely inspiring to know what God has in mind for us. So I want to read Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. The best news I could ever tell you, other than the fact that a Savior hung on a cross outside of Jerusalem and died for you and shed his blood, paid the atoning price, the price of atoning death, and rose again from the dead. Apart from that message, the second message, most important, is the message that God has a wonderful plan for your life. He says it. I know the plans. Now, it's one thing that we would know the plans, but God says, don't worry, I know the plan. He says, you may have your own plans, but I have the ultimate plan because I know you. The plans I have for you, not to cause you grief, but to bring you into something wonderful, to seek the goodness of the Lord and the kindness of the Lord. I was telling in the first service that many years ago, I was single and I was at a summer Bible camp in southern Saskatchewan, and I went for a prayer walk that night after the camp was all over. Now, just so you know the setting, I wasn't the speaker. I wasn't anything. I was the guy who had the little group of junior high or juniors, and just very nondescript. There was nothing flashy about it. I had a cabin of kids. That was it. So I just want to get you the idea when this came is there's nothing to go on other than the fact that it was really fulfilling. And I went for this walk, and somehow as I started to pray, I felt the Lord impress on me, and I don't hear many things like that, but I certainly felt it this time. And that was, it sounded like this: Owen, people are forever and ever 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 and ever. And my word is forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Those two things. People are forever, even regardless of where they die. They don't cease to live. They're somewhere else. So people are forever. And my word is forever. That's what I want you to know. This is your kingdom call. I called it a kingdom call. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't even know till years later, actually, in some ways, except that I knew it would involve the scriptures, and I knew it would involve people. But I didn't know if I was going to drive a taxi cab and hand out tracts. I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but I certainly never thought it would be a pulpit. And I never thought I'd be preaching. And I never thought that those kind of be leading Bible studies and praying for people and whatnot and doing weddings and doing, and never, that had no bearing on it, because that's not really what it's about. That those are the details. They don't matter in that way. But what matters was that God had planned. And I should just start seeking him, press in as much as I knew how, and knowing that whatever he was calling me to, I was well suited for it, as you are. You know, you are well suited for what he calls you to. He doesn't, as I said in the first service, he doesn't take athletes and break their legs and make them play the flute. Wouldn't we like that? Wouldn't we like that if he said, I don't want to do this. Well, you have to do it because that's your calling. You have to do that. Well, I don't like it. Never mind what you like. Just do it. You know, there's not much satisfaction in that. But we are well suited to that plans that God says he has. I have plans for you. And so turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 12. There's an interesting passage in there that I think has to do with, pardon me just a second here. It has to do with the calling on your life. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, By the way, if anything that's for use of God in any way, we're counseling or sharing or leading a song service or whatever else we do, it's by grace. It's a grace given. It's an ability given. The grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It's very easy to get grandiose ideas about this ministry that's coming down the road. You know, your ministry and how great your ministry was in the past and how great it's going to be in the future. My ministry. I wish the Lord would tell me about my ministry. And we're pretty well tired of you already. And we haven't even started your ministry. So there's a humility here. Not to think more highly than yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. In other words, to look very closely at your life, the one that God has assigned. Again, according to the measure of faith, you have to believe that God has a plan for you. It's not going to be dumped on you. I believe you have to ask the Lord, just as we might ask the Lord to baptize us with the Spirit, we ask him to fill us with that measure of faith that we would go forth in faith saying, I believe this is what God wants me to do and how he wants me to live my life. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we through many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace, again that grace, given to us, let us use them. These graces, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And he's just not exhausting the list. He's just giving some ideas of how God might be using us. But one thing we know is the starting point of a successful, and again, we have to define that, a successful life, bringing honor and glory to God and loving on people and helping people, the starting point is to face your faults and your weaknesses, to evaluate your weaknesses. Many people, they don't like doing it. We, none of us like looking at our weaknesses, but it's important that we do because there are reasons why God is not using you more. And sometimes it can have to do with things in our life that we've never evaluated. For example, I might be a very overbearing kind of person. You may have a gift, but that overbearingness will hurt your ministry. So he said you have to look very carefully at that which God has given you. It can be, I can be bossy, or I can be insecure and controlling, or I can, I'm very self-absorbed and everything's about me. And when I counsel or witness, I'm talking about me. Those things, you have to look hard and long at your life because it's as we recognize our weaknesses, not our strength, they're easy to recognize, but our faults, that which people say about us. See, I don't care what they say about us. Therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. I need to have that evaluation to make sure I'm not fooling myself, right? That I've got this, I said in the first service that I have a singing ministry, but for the life of me, it's taken 26 years and they still don't recognize it here. You know, you'd think they would have kind of sensed some sense of the callings, and perhaps they have, right? I think quite a while ago I got the idea. So anyway, God likes it in the shower when I sing, and so there we have it. But the point of it is, can you imagine me insisting that I somehow, because I want to be, want to be on the team and everything, that I start thinking that I've got a ministry in that? I don't have a ministry in that. But I don't see that, and nobody has the nerve to sell me that. So we plunder on, right, doing things we're not suited to. Years and years ago, we had an usher. He'd bawl people out. He'd say, Taro, I don't know how he got the job in the first place, but he would, and finally the ultimate thing was, this person was sitting right near the back, the guest who had come, and he comes around the corner here after shouting at people, and he said, you're sitting in my seat, because that was his chair, because that's where he sat all the time. And somebody said, he's got a ministry. I don't think so. He turned a lot of people off. He didn't know it. I believe he honestly didn't see it. So one of the things, Lord, show me these weaknesses and faults in my life so that I learn. right? I want to learn. And I don't want to be a know-it-all. And I don't want to have these things where people kind of would like to tell me, but they can't, because I don't ever allow anybody to look back at that. So as Paul said, I'm still growing. I'm still growing. Turn with me just for a moment to the book of Philippians. I'll show you where he takes this thing to. It's really quite amazing. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It's not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and straining forward to what is ahead. We're going to come back to that word, straining. For what is ahead? Wow. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll pause there. You see, to be able to say, I haven't arrived, I have a large L on my back, not for loser, but for learner. The great ability to learn from others, through your reading, through your interaction with the body of Christ, through people being honest with us. Paul says he was honest about his shortfall. He hadn't reached perfection. Quite a thing to say. You say, you kind of think he would have, wouldn't you? He was when this was the book of Philippians was written, he was an old man. He had completed three colossal missionary journeys. I mean, this was a big deal. But he said, I'm not there yet. What a humility. I want to be able to have that, so that I don't feel that I can't listen to somebody, you know, who's not on my level. What? No, I want to learn. I want to listen. I want to hear if I can. So here's the point. Successful people never stop growing. Just always growing. Wanting to know this, reading that, hearing about that, finding things interesting. If you find things interesting, it's amazing where that'll take. If you find people are very interesting. There are a lot of interesting things that I find the more you take an interest in, the more life opens up in some very, very good ways. So it wasn't, see how far I've come. But Paul was saying, look how far I can still go. I'm still straining. I'm still pressing on ahead. But the question is, where do I need to change so that the things in my life don't sabotage the good stuff that he's doing? Because I can have these tones and attitudes and not just kind of plunder on and wonder why other people get used and I don't get used. And can I just be honest? Because you have not evaluated deep enough. And finally to be able to say, oh Lord, I don't care what it is. I just want to be used of you, and you can determine that. But I want to get rid of anything that might hinder. So why? So we can answer the question, God, will you use me even more? So Paul says, I forget what lies behind. Verse 13, I forget what lies behind. Was it putting lying behind? Yeah, but he said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how successful I've been. There's nobody more successful than Paul. He's absolutely successful. But we can become crippled by things from the past. We're crippled by the memories of the past. There's many people are absolutely bound up in what happened in 1979. They've never got over that. And so that they're crippled by those memories of failure. They don't step out because of fear of failure. They're afraid to do anything because they might get hurt. I'll just tell you something. I'll save you the journey. You will get hurt. Yes. As a matter of fact, the joy of a church is this, learning that these people could hurt me and still hanging out with them. Isn't it? Sure it is. Come on. If there's people, somebody will misunderstand you. Somebody will not realize really what you were trying to do. It's just life. It's just like that. And you can't possibly be so thin-skinned that you get mad and you leave a church and leave another one because they always hurt you. There's a thin skin problem there that I need to say, no, people might, because nobody can read us well. They can't read us completely well. They don't understand why we did what we did. But you can be crippled by these memories of the past. Some people live in regret. Should have done this, could have done that, wish I would have done that. And they're always wishing they would have done it, should have bought that property, should have done that when they asked me if I wanted to be a part of that. And so we've got the people in regret. And then again, there's others that live in nostalgia. Oh, yeah. I mean, see, this is what I'll have to watch in the days ahead. I'll be talking to them, Marcel, remember those great days? Yeah, that was something, yeah. By the way, they're exaggerated right out of proportion about how great they really were, right? But that's, hey, listen, here's the secret. Listen up. Newsflash. The good old days are gone. Even no matter if you're 17 here today. The good old days are gone. They are. The reality this is yesterday is gone. That's why Paul says, forgetting that which is behind. He didn't say he didn't remember it. He remembered it, but it's gone. And it really is. It's gone. Yesterday's gone. Whatever you were going to do yesterday, well, you did it. It might have been great or it might have been not so great, but it's gone. It's past. Boy, that's a great freeing thing. To say, yeah, but what about the great way the Lord used me in this and how that happened? You know, I used to do that. And, oh, I used to sing in the car. I used to do that. And all they said, yeah, you did. Wasn't it good? It was great. Oh, I'm glad it was so great because it's gone. It's done. You can't live there. You can thank God for it. You can say, thank you, God, for using me. And I saw how you used me. Saw how this worked out. And there's wonderful days in that. Oh, remember the days in that church. Oh, I'll tell you, brother, those were the days. Wish we had them. Oh, they don't have them like that anymore, do they? No, they don't. And they never were that good. I keep a journal. I know. Look back and say, huh, I didn't think that wasn't quite as good as I thought it was. But in my mind, it was. And I guess that was there lies the problem. So we must let go of, in order to embrace all that God's going to use us, we have to let go of that. And it's very important that we do that. I let go of the past so I can get on with what? The future. The future. I'm more aware of it than you are. Because this month I have a birthday that reminds me of it. But it doesn't matter about that. What matters is how the Spirit of God will work in my heart if I press in. So Isaiah 43 is helpful here for somebody. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and verse 19. This is the Lord speaking. He says this, remember not the former things. No, he didn't say that you're going to scratch it out of your memory. But don't focus on it, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It may well be that you've come to a place in your life when you're aware that that is gone, it's yesterday, it was the good old days, but we can't live in the good old days, we got to live in today. And here it is, and he says, listen, I'm doing a new thing. Yes. See, I'm claiming that in my own heart, this new thing. So you don't want to daydream, you know, just daydream about it, but you want to be involved in it. To see what God can do in the lives of people today. There's something very powerful about being strategically placed somewhere where God decides to use you because you're so wholly available. Right? That you're available for Him to use you. And we have this moment. As I said, the good old days are gone. But not this isn't gone. This day that you're in. Doesn't matter whether you're 14 or whether you're 87. If you're breathing air, there is a task, very important. It may not be a big thing, but it will be a highly significant thing. So now we can say, to focus. As a matter of fact, I found something that happens that I'm clear for quite a while about following the Lord and wanting to please Him and do what He wants me to do. And then I get busy, and then other things take over, and this takes over. And pretty soon, you're not so aware of this calling. Right, this calling on your life. And so you need to come back to that again and say, God, what is it again that you called me to? That I can be, you know, focused on the things that you have called. So we focus on the future. We press towards the goal. That's what Paul says, the goal. We concentrate on the future. So the truth of it is that God has wired us so differently. Couldn't be more wired differently if we tried. But we must individually reach the goal. So we're all wired a certain way differently. And as I said in the first service, I was just pointing out to different people, Eric is different from Pat, and Joan is different than Marcel, and Simon is different than someone else. You're just uniquely different, and you do it so well. In the first service, I was talking about Carl and Mo, and I said, you know, I don't want them to change one bit, because I thoroughly enjoy those brothers, as I do so many of you here. So enjoy you. You're wired uniquely to serve God and to do this new thing. Don't you change. It's the thing around that changes us. So we press towards the goal, but we must individually reach the goal. It's not plural. It's not goals. It's goal. One goal. And we must individually do that. The goal is singular and calls us into the various ministries and things that we might do that would bring glory to God. So Paul says, find out what counts. So he said, I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in to lay hold of the one who laid hold of me. In other words, what is that thing that I do? What do I do best that God seems to take delight in? He seems to enjoy it. And he uses me. How is that? You see, I could go on and on about things that I see in my own life, but I'm more interested in what you see, about who you are. What's that thing that you do well? I don't mean just one task. You might be singing, you might be multitasked for that. Well, I know. But what has God given you that is uniquely you? It's just you. And it's beautiful. Maybe you discovered that shortly after you came to Christ. I don't know. But how can I be most useful for God's purposes? Can you imagine if you got absolutely filled with that thought of being used by God strategically, that somehow you end up in the right place at the right time doing whatever it is that you do? So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, verse 24, if you do, in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. I don't fully understand this, to be honest. Over the years, I'm not quite sure what he's saying, but I get the drift of it. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, he's not talking about heaven or hell. He's talking about availability. God couldn't use me. See, that's my great fear, is that somehow I will get myself in some predicament, some situation where integrity is lost and where reputation is destroyed. And then God says, I would love to use you, but I have to put you on the shelf. So Paul says, I'm guaranteeing that's not going to happen, because I'm boxing and I'm running because I know there's one goal, and that is to please the Lord, living a life that pleases God. And if I don't get that right, if I live loosely in my life, or if I'm dishonest or something that disqualifies me, it would be terrible, right? So we need to get in the game. That's one of the things, to get in the game. If I'm going to be doing anything, so as I was praying regarding today, I said, God, I see some great things coming that you would like me to be available. And I'm going to give myself to some greater prayer so that I will follow through. I won't miss it. You see, if you're coasting, here's the thing. Easy to coast, because you're good people and you come to church, and so it's easy to coast. But if you coast in life, it says one thing for sure: you're going downhill. You can't coast without going downhill. I don't want to go downhill. I'm planning on being used of God in my community, in my neighborhood. At least that's my desire. I would desire that more than anything else, because I know that that's what counts. Somehow, we were a blessing to somebody, Christian or non-Christian. We were just a blessing to them. So in Acts 20, 22 to 24, he says, I desire to finish my course. I want to finish well. And the ministry. So there's two things. There's the course and there's the ministry that we received. And here's where it comes from. It says received from the Lord. Whatever thing you have going, again, it comes from God. And it comes beautifully from God. And we must be used by the Lord with it. So 2 Timothy has something to say to us that I find quite profound. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out. You won't hear this very often. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Now, it's a libation. It was not the sacrifice. It was the drink offering poured on top of the sacrifice. And so, as Christ is the sacrifice, you did not sacrifice your life for the sins of the world. Jesus did. But our sacrifice is that as God sees Jesus dying for us, giving up his life, he pours us out as the libation. We're the wine being poured out upon the sacrifice. And it's powerful. And so, if I'm the main offering is Jesus, I'm the libation, I must avail myself to say, God, I want to be the sacrifice upon the libation, upon the main sacrifice. I want to be that. I want to give my life. He said, I'm already being poured out. He said, I see it. My life is being used in that way. So we fight the good fight, we finish the race, and we're used of God in ways that are just remarkable. I was saying in the first service that the other day I hadn't seen a fellow for about a year and a half, and I run into him in an unlikely place. And I thought, that's interesting. I even said that to him. I said, it's kind of interesting I'd run into you. He said, yeah, I think so too. The next day, I run into him again. What are the odds of that? I don't see him for a year and a half, and I run into him again. And then I run into him yesterday. I said, are you following me? Am I following you? What is that? I don't know, I still, because we didn't linger long. I suspect I was placed strategically just to say hello. In this case, just say hello. How are you? It's good to see you. How is it going? Because now you don't have to plan these. Just avail yourself. And next thing, you are connecting somebody to go to a church maybe, or you're sharing something a little bit about some things you've gone through, and there's ministry taking place. My point is that 99% of all of our ministry is really small stuff. It's not the podium and the microphones. It's just being available. It's just encouraging somebody. It's just giving somebody some attention, right? That's how it'll be. If you're looking for something, say, well, when does my ministry begin? Well, right afterwards when they try to put the stuff away. you can stack the chairs, might be where your ministry starts. See, no, we'd include that. It might be that, it might be singing. We don't know. All we're saying is that this, you have to forget which is behind in order to press on. I might want to shake off some things in my life, or even where God is speaking to me, say, Lord, thank you for pointing that out to me. I somehow have allowed that to build up in my life, and I don't want it to hinder anything about this journey for the goal that I want to receive. So one man got it right when he said, you face your faults, you forget the former, you focus on the future, and you fight to the finish. I think that's true. And my great pleasure this morning would be, my great privilege would be to pray a prayer over you. Individually, I can't do it all together, but as thinking of you as an individual, what would life be like if somehow you got into the game a little bit more? That you say, I think I'm coasting. I think I'm not doing anything really bad, but I'm not doing anything particularly well or good. I think that's many Christians. But you would like some prayer, because all I'm going to pray is that somehow the Lord will light a fire in you, and that you will have a kingdom call too. That it may not be, won't necessarily be like mine, but it'll be from the Lord. And you say, I've turned a corner. I sense that God is doing something new. Isn't that exciting that God says, I'm not just this old-fashioned God. I'm the God who does new things. I do new things. So I want to quit being bored. I'm going to do something new. Yes. Okay, I better, then what happens? I better ready myself. I better give myself to prayer. I must give myself to the Scriptures. Because I want to be available, right? People are forever and forever, forever. The Scriptures are forever and forever. Two things that last for eternity. That's what I want to invest in. Encouraging people because they last. They matter. And can you pick the end of a day, end of a year, you start, the Lord just placed you and bringing people into your life and you just can hardly believe it, just blown away by it. It's because your gifts. I just know that. You know, I marvel at people. They seem to be multi-gifted, don't they? It's so amazing how they get such a ministry that seems to be multi. And all you can say is, well, that's what God did. God gives people gifts. You can't do anything. You can't do a thing about it. That's gifts God gave given them. I know one of the gifts that I have is the gift of is a gift of exhortation. How do I know that? Because pretty well everybody comes out of my office at I really felt encouraged. Well, it brings tears to my eyes because that's one of the things that God says I'm going to use you to encourage. Now, as other things that I'm not good at all, when I say, God, I'd like to administrate. No, you don't. or maybe he says, no, I don't want you to administrate. Because the truth of the matter is I get three ideas in my head and I get confused. But not with Val. She can have 50 things going. It's quite amazing. And Marcel, amazing. Billy, he can sing or teach or preach or do anything. Oh, it seems like anything. And he's not anything to do. God has just given him that. He can organize things and put things together. And he's very thorough and knows stuff. Right? Knows stuff. But he can also play a guitar. I'm not kidding. He dances. He's amazing. But all I can say is that's how God has wired him. And he's in the game. Imagine all of our gifts being available. God, he says, stir up the gift that is within you. Yes. Have you done that lately? Because I know what it's like. It goes, yeah, it's been a long time since I asked God to stir up the gifts. It's all run through gifts. So stir up that. Today, as I lead us in a prayer, stir it up. Don't just sit, say, okay, God, yes, stir up my inner man. And then, Lord, place me in the right place, the right time that I can. Because you don't have to work hard at this. And by the way, there'll be many times when nothing seems to be happening. Isn't it true? Just really long period. You say, no, what are you doing? I'm just doing church. Yeah, but anything good stuff happening? Just doing church. But and long time, how many know what I'm talking about? Just that it seems that not much is going on. That's okay, because you need a downtime too. There also can be battles going on. Remember the enemy, imagine if the whole church is alive. I don't think the enemy would want that. So he'll bring you personal discouragements. You say, what was I kidding? Who was I kidding? I can't do anything. I don't even like those people. I give my time to them and they seem to take advantage of it. Yeah. The enemy's at work to divide us, to hurt us. So be aware of these things. Sometimes not much is happening. And secondly, the enemy is often at work to discourage us so that we're not doing that which we're really called to do. Now remember, the plan that God has for you comes from God. This isn't any, there's nothing we can do much except to inspire. And when we get together, we say, let's pray for each other. So I pray for Simon, he prays for me, and I'm praying for somebody else, right? We pray that God will encourage that person. And what is that we think we say? And use them. Don't we say that? How many times do we say that? Lord, may you bless them and use them. 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 There's nothing greater other than knowing the Savior than being used of God. And it may be no big deal to anybody else, but you will know in your heart, God uses you. Don't worry if it's not on the platform. It may or may not be. This is not where it's really at. It's in your heart. And it's fine. And just coming across people's paths and you will be so inspired. Everything else will seem secondary. When we were in England, Min Garcia had this Filipino family that were visiting her from the Philippines, and we get talking to him, and I said, "What do you do in the Philippines?" He said, "I'm an art dealer." "Wow, an art dealer." He said, "Do you know?" And then he said, "Do you know Evita?" I said, "I know Evita. She's been at our church before. She's an art dealer. I think it's the second largest art gallery in all of Manila." "Yeah." I said, "Well, I work with her once in a while." And then he's talking. He said, "Do you know Quentin?" "Quentin? King?" "Yeah." He said, "I went to school with him." So they were getting some connections, right? And then I said, "So you're an art dealer?" "Well, no." I said, "I'm a pastor. I support myself with the art." But he said, and you know, while we were with him, he witnessed to three people. It was absolutely remarkable how his gift worked. He's praying, he just sidles over to them, he starts talking. Then he brought the guy over, he says, "I want you to meet my new friend. This is Harold, you know, and Harold does this and that, and he runs this, and he runs that," and we're just all laughing. And later, when that man left, this pastor said to me, he said, "You know, I had three chances today to share the love of Christ." He said, "I'm just really happy about that." And I noticed that he never, you know, wrenched a confession out of anybody. He was just being who he was. He was taking an interest in that person's life. Very inspiring. Very inspiring. I might have thought, "Well, are you just inspiring to be a preacher?" No, just inspiring to be used of God. So stand with me, please. Obviously, God used the person who led you to Christ, or how'd you get here, right? Somebody must have used you. Somebody used of God must have told you about a Savior. How did any of us get here, right? You just got here. It's wonderful. But you got here because somebody shared, somebody witnessed, somebody prayed. And I want to be the cause of many people to fall into the kingdom. Don't you? I just want to be used that way. Not to be overbearing, but to be an example of love and care. And if God would be so pleased, I think we can actually beg of God to use us. Right? So we press in for the goal. Nothing deterring us. Nothing holding us back. So to that end, if you're here and I guess we don't have a... Do we have somebody? Is Christina here? No, it's okay. We were joking for the first service, but you don't. I won't share it with you because it doesn't make sense. Bow your heart, please. It's not an accident that you're here this morning to hear the songs that you heard, to hear the message that you heard, that God has plans for you and that he's doing a new thing. Lord, perhaps you're always doing a new thing. I'm not sure. But I know you're doing a new thing in many hearts here. And they're turning a corner. It's a new era. It's a new day. And I pray, God, that you would just stretch forth your hand. Lord, as I stretch forth my hand symbolically, I pray that your greater hand would stretch forth. That everybody in the balcony, Lord, would have a hunger to be used of you. God, I pray that you'd stir up the gifts that are within them. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up. Stir it up. All of those beautiful gifts of the Spirit of Jesus. Lord, we just call forth growth. We call forth fruitfulness, that they would be greatly used, placed strategically, really listening to the voice of God. So thank you, Lord, for the great adventure that we're on together, asking, Lord, for us to watch over us and to use us. We want to be used. Lord, hear our cry. We cry out to you, use us for your glory. And Lord, where the enemy comes in, cause us to put him to flight, and may we press in to the things that count and the things that matter. Lord, we know what matters. We watch the news, and lives come and lives go, and many go into eternity without knowing you. I pray, God, there will be some of those pivotal people that somehow played a role in somebody's life that maybe perhaps resulted in eternal life. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for a great morning. And we ask you to bless us, bless our fellowship together. And again, Lord, we would just lift up the Vacation Bible School. Oh, I pray that the teams would be used of you. Pray those some little kids will come, maybe never heard the name of Jesus in praise. And I pray, God, that you'd bless every home that's represented here. And I pray, God, there'd be some spiritual gains and bless this team and bless the staff. Just bless everybody involved, Lord, with this week, we pray. And watch over it, Lord, we ask. Just watch over it, and we'll thank you, give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Now, yeah, amen. Well, this is not a new thing we're doing. It's an old thing that we're doing out in the patio. It's called fellowshipping. We just would love it if you could come. I'm going to head out there. Different ones are going to be out there. Just get a chance to say hi to you, and we'll see you. And pastry. Thank you.